you to repeat after me. Say, this is God's word. Not Pastor Eben's word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray today. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the blood that reaches when we're high and it reaches when we're low. It reaches, Father, when things are good and it reaches things when they're bad. But Father, what we do know is that you're good all the time. So Lord, as we come to hear your word, I thank you for breathing on it. I thank you for allowing it to go on the inside of us and change the outside of us. I thank you that as we hear it, faith is going to come so that we can position ourselves to live the more than abundant life Jesus died for us to have. So I thank you that even those who are watching and those who are in the room, as their ears are open to hear your word, thank you for signs, miracles, and wonders following what we hear today as we exercise it when we leave. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Let everybody say, amen, amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. Well, we're in a series called Noise Cancellation, Less Noise and Hear God. Everybody say, less noise and hear God. How many got some noise going on in your life? Some kind of noise, somebody talking loud or something talking loud. Well, the goal of our series is to identify the noise that's in us, because some noise that we're hearing is in us, to also identify the noise that's around us and then remove or reduce it so we can hear God's voice better. Say amen to that. And because here's why this is so important. Whatever you hear the most of is what you'll yield to. That's why faith works. It says faith comes how? By hearing. But guess what? Fear comes by hearing as well. In Romans chapter 6 verse 15, it says, well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can keep on sinning? Just look at your neighbor and say, you need to stop sinning. He says, of course not. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose. Everybody say choose. You have to choose to do what, church? You have to choose to obey. Obedience is the choice. It's not a feeling. Amen. He said you must choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. So church, whatever we adhere to is what we become slaves to. Amen. So if we hear right, we can live right. Everybody say, if I hear right, I can live right. Amen. So last week we looked at how God speaks to us. If you missed that, I want to encourage you to go back and watch it again. And hopefully God said some things to you this week. Now, I introduced a graphic on last week that I believed helped us grasp this concept of God talking to us. And so what I want to do today is go a little deeper. So just look at somebody one more time and say, we're about to go into surgery. Yeah. So if you're taking notes, our topic is identifying and addressing the noise. We talked on the front end about hearing God and how that works. And so now we want to talk about identifying the noise and then addressing it. And so I'm going to switch my teaching style just a little bit. You can see that I have this screen up here. And so I want to do that because I believe it'll help us understand how to look and identify these voices. So here's what I'm about to do. I'm going to give you six. Everybody say six. I'm going to give you six sources of where these voices come from, because there has to be a source for these voices. Amen. So the first source is the voice of Scripture. Everybody say Scripture. It's the voice of Scripture. God's word is his primary way of speaking to us. We went over that. Number two, it's the voice of sin. Everybody say sin. Sin will talk to you if you let it. Amen. That's why people watch pornography, because it's talking to them. Say amen to that. Yeah. Here's the third one. The voice of Spirit. Everybody say Spirit. Spirit, whether it's the Holy Spirit or it's our spirit, because remember last week we talked about when we got born again, God put his spirit inside of our heart. Our hearts are our spirit. And this is the second most way that God speaks to us as well. So he speaks to us with his word, and then he speaks to us by way of his spirit that's inside of our spirit. Then we have Satan. Everybody say Satan. Look at your neighbor and say, I know him. Now we know that he speaks. We know that he speaks to us because he spoke to Eve, he spoke to Jesus, and if you don't watch it, the devil knows the word, because when he spoke to Jesus, he told Jesus, if you just throw yourself down, the Bible says that the angels will catch you. Amen. And so there's a difference between somebody being right and somebody walking in truth. Amen. So we have Satan. Then the fifth one is society. Did everybody say society? And that's the culture that we live in. We already know that the culture that we live in is kind of anti-God. If you notice that all of these issues in the school systems, all of these shootings have taken place because prayer has been taken out of school. Say amen to that. And then number six, which is what we're going to focus on, is the voice of your soul. Now, this voice tends to talk and speak the loudest, and here is why. It's because it's the part of us that processes the things that take place within our minds, our wills, our thoughts, and how we feel. And that's why our souls are louder than anything else. Because it's that part of us that processes things. And so I want to talk about and begin with the voice of your soul. Because listen, church, the condition of your soul, the condition of your mind, your will, your thoughts, and how you feel, the condition of your soul, watch this, impacts your prosperity, blessings, and health in life. This is why some people can go to the doctor and the doctor cannot find what's wrong with them, because what's really wrong with them is that their soul is sick. And when your soul is sick, it will eventually impact your body. Listen to 3 John 1:2 in the King James. He says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper, that's blessed, and be how in what? In health. But here's the condition. He says, but even as your soul prospers. See, if your soul doesn't prosper, you won't prosper. Everybody say, if your soul doesn't prosper, you won't prosper. But then in addition to that, he says, not only will you not prosper, but your health won't either. Listen to how the Amplified Bible puts it. He says, I pray that in every way, everybody say in every way. In every way, you may succeed and prosper and be in what kind of health? See, you can have health, but he says be in good health physically, just as I know your soul prospers spiritually. The more whole your soul is, the more of the abundant life that Jesus promised you will experience. I'm going to say that again. The more whole your soul is, the more of the abundant life that Jesus promised us you will experience. So I'm going to now change from Pastor Eben to Professor Eben. In fact, you can just call me Dr. Eben right now. Say Dr. Eben. All right. Now, let me show you how we're supposed to live life. Remember, I told you last week, we are a spirit. We have a soul, and we live in a what? We live in a body. So this is the way we should live life. We should live life from the spirit. Hold on, let me see here. Let me get myself together. I gotta touch this, and let me see here. I gotta touch the pen. Come on, pen. All right, where's my assistant? Vanna, there she is. Okay, here we go. All right, so This is how we're supposed to live life. This way, that way. In other words, we're supposed to be led by the Spirit. So our life should reflect Spirit first. And when our spirit is in control, then our soul will be managed by that. And then if our soul is right, then our bodies have to follow. Okay? All right. Now, here's the thing. Most people's life don't look like that. In fact, let me see if I know how to erase this. Can I erase it? I guess I can't. There it is right there. All right. So watch this. This is how most people's soul look. It looks like their life look like this. See? That's an arrow. Does that look like an arrow? All right, let's do it again. Let's see. All right. What that look like, a pencil? It does look like a pencil. Y'all can tell I ain't took art in a long time. All right, let's do it like this. All right, let's do it like this. Thank you very much. Most people, their life is governed this way. They can't follow this. And when your life is governed this way, this thing right here tells you what to do. Yes, sir. Amen. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I want to show you something. Because if we don't get this area of our life together, it's bad. So watch this. It says, New Living Translation. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead you to give your bodies to God. Why? Because of all he has done for you. Let your bodies be of what kind of sacrifice? A living and holy sacrifice, and this kind, or the kind that he will find acceptable, and this is truly the way that we worship him. So listen, church, in order for something to live, sometimes something has to die. We can just look at the whole cross with Jesus. Had Jesus not died for us, we would not be able to live. Say amen to that. And in John chapter 12, verse 24, Jesus talks about, unless a corn of wheat falls down into the ground and then dies, then it's going to abide by itself. In other words, it's no different than you just sitting that kernel of corn or wheat on the counter. But it has to go into the ground and die. Everybody say die. He says, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, watch this now, what's going to happen, church? It brings forth what? Much fruit. So watch this now. You and I have been commissioned by Jesus Christ to produce fruit. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 talks about that. It talks about God wants us to give, produce fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith. So if we have been called to produce fruit, that means something about us has to die. And you know what part of us has to die for us to produce spiritual fruit? Because everything we just named, that's spiritual fruit. But in order for us to produce that, guess what? He said this body has to, watch this, not just die. He said a living sacrifice. Now you say, whoa, what in the world is a living sacrifice? That means our bodies are alive, but it doesn't get its way. I'm going to say that again. He said a living sacrifice. That means, see, if he just said a sacrifice, that means it's dead and it can't come back. But he said, no, he wants us to be what kind of sacrifices? A living sacrifice. And what that means as believers, it means that our bodies are alive, but it doesn't get its way. And so when you want to cheat, you won't. When you want to cuss, you don't. Everybody say amen to that. So listen, church, every time we obey God, listen to me, it kills your flesh. Everybody say, every time I obey God, it kills my flesh. And that's why some of our flesh, our bodies are still alive, because we let it get its way. You're not supposed to eat a whole turkey. I know it's Thanksgiving. No, just the turkey leg. Right? You know you're not supposed to be eating candy. You are on the borderline of being a diabetic. But you at QT, I saw you buying all that candy. So last week we went over a verse that I'm about to go over again. And here's why I want to go over it. It's actually Romans 12:2. Now Romans 12:1 just told us we need to present our bodies as what? A living sacrifice. Now watch what verse 2 says. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God, everybody say, you got to let God. Let God do what? Transform you into a what kind of person? A new person. And how is he going to do that? By changing the way you and I what? So changing the way we think. And then we will learn to know God's will, and which is good and pleasing and perfect. So watch this, church. Let me put the two together. You will not be able to transform your mind, which is in your soul, until your body is a living sacrifice. Are you all with me? And so since our minds are part of our soul, my soul needs to be renewed. And it has to be renewed, because if it doesn't, I won't transform into the person that God wants me to be. So here's the problem. Here's point number one, if you're taking notes. Your soul has holes. Just look at somebody and say, your soul has holes. Your soul has holes. Your soul has holes. Listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. It says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, watch what he says. Now watch, listen to his prayer. He says, I pray to God that your what? Your whole spirit, your whole what? Soul, and your whole what? Body be preserved blameless. Listen, he's saying he wants our soul to be whole, which now means that it can't be sometimes. Do you know whose responsibility it is for our souls to become whole? It's ours. And the only way that you and I are going to renew our minds, or this area right here, because let me see if I can change. Watch this. All right, let's see. All right, let me see. All right, let me work it out. How do I flip to the next screen, Keandria? I don't remember. What? Close. I'm gonna see what happened if I do this. Same thing. Oh, just where I did that, it just gave a line. See, hit select. Nope, I don't want to do that. Who? Just come on up here, y'all. Welcome, Benna White. Close. And then swipe. The Lord is good. Give Vanna White a big hand clap, y'all. So listen, church, here's the reason our souls have holes. They've been damaged. And here's why. I said last week, because our soul didn't get saved. Our spirits did. Our soul is being saved. It's being changed. It's being renewed. Our souls need converted. Everybody say converted. And this is why the word's important, because the word has the power to convert our souls. Listen, therapy and counseling, which I believe in, but therapy and counseling can only enlighten your soul, but the word is the only thing that can change your soul. Listen to Psalm 19, verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, and it does what? Converts the soul. Listen to the Amplified. The law of the Lord, or the word of God, is perfect. It's flawless. Listen to what the word does to our soul. It restores and refreshes our soul. So, this is what life looks like to most people. This is your soul, but this is all the stuff that has happened in your soul before you got to Jesus. And these represent holes. So you can see, you know, there are some holes. Let me see if I can do this. All right, here we go. Let me try again. Let me see if I, how do I remember this? Touch the pen. Here we go. Let's see here. Touch it. Okay, got the pen. There it is right there. Mm-hmm. All right, so now. Notice line is real big over here. Look how big rejection is. Pride comes before destruction. It's really big. And here's the problem. Here's the problem. These all represent different experiences, damage, issues, traumas, pain, hurt. This is all that's in there. And these all represent holes in our life. So I'm just going to name some of these because I want to focus on the remedy, not just on the problems. Because you come to, Pastor, I came to church just for you to tell me I got problems. I already knew that. Well, let's look at some of these. You got jealousy up there. You know, this is when you find yourself competing and comparing yourself with other people. You have rejection. That's when you perceive that nobody wants to accept you. You have disappointment. That's a big hurt in a lot of people's lives. You know, your daddy didn't keep his word in your life. He said he was going to come by and buy you this or pick you up. And he didn't. He consistently broke his word. And so now everybody's paying the price of something your daddy did. You don't believe nobody. All right, let's see here. We got pride. We have unforgiveness. We have bitterness. We have lying. We have entitlement. I'm going to keep talking about that one because we're living in a society and culture of entitlement. You know, and listen, I don't want to get into the whole slave thing. We all know that slavery existed in America. We know that. And we're talking about what they call it when you try to get everybody to get paid on the slavery. How do you calculate that? I don't know, but I'm going to trust Jesus. Entitlement is the belief that you inherently deserve certain privileges, certain benefits, certain treatment, and often it's like that without earning or even working for them. It can show up as an attitude where someone expects things to be given to them on the basis of either who they are or the merit or standard that they've come up with for themselves. Entitlement can happen in several areas. Here's one form of entitlement. You have social entitlement. This is when we expect others to treat us in a way regardless of our behavior. We see that in Hollywood, how their kids feel like they can just go, these famous people, their kids can go and rob a bank and they just want them to go on probation. You have financial entitlement, expecting money or sources or resources regardless of if you've earned it or not. This is sometimes, you know, you can create a standard and expect others to comply by it. You know, the problem that I have in today's church is that today's church has become a store. It's a consumer place. I'm just going there to get something. I'm not going there to give something. I'm going there to get something. In other words, it has become a store when it really is supposed to be, in God's eyes, a storehouse. Then we have relational entitlement. I just threw that in there. It wasn't on my notes. I just felt it. You have relational entitlement. This is expecting constant attention, loyalty, forgiveness, or love from others, but you're not reciprocating it. You want it, but you ain't giving it. Well, you didn't give it. Well, what's wrong with you? You have career entitlement. This happens when you may, you know, meet the criteria for an open position at work and someone else gets the position. And your mind is like, wait a minute, I've been here longer. I trained the person who I'm working for. I have 15 degrees like a thermometer. And here they are bringing somebody from the outside in. The problem is maybe, just maybe, longer doesn't mean better qualified. Maybe that person's experience far outweighs how long you've been with the company. All right, let me keep going. We have offense. I ain't going to talk about that one because I don't want you to get offended. You have divorce and bad relationships. And so now most people you encounter, because you've encountered a bad relationship or divorce, most people you encounter or get in a relationship with, they paying for the pain from somebody else. Amen. Then you have church hurt. I have a whole series on that. If you're dealing with some church hurt, there's no reason for nobody at Word of Truth Family Church to have church hurt, because I did a whole series and a rap video about it. Then you have addiction. What is that? Because see, there are several kinds of addiction. It's not just drug addiction. You can have porn addiction. You can have food addiction. You can have all kinds of addictions. These are just destructive habits that keep a person in bondage. And then here's one that most people don't even view as a sin: gossip. So look at your neighbor and say, I ain't going to talk about that one, though. Now look at your other neighbor and say, but you a liar. You have been talking about it. So listen, church, I'm rolling here. The bigger problem comes when we function this way for years, and now these holes have turned into what I'm going to call strongholds, or, watch this, this is so good, wounds. So now we're in the center. Let's just pretend that this is the center of our soul. So remember, this includes our mind, our wills, how we think, and our emotions. So now these wounds are functioning through these areas right here. And we wonder why we can't be stable. It's because we're functioning, watch this, not from our soul, but through our wounds. Now, everybody has a wound, but the question is, has your wound moved from a wound to a scar? A scar is proof that you had a wound, but your wound is healed. So we have holes in these areas where our souls have been damaged. Here's the question: what needs to happen to get into a healthy soul place for us to prosper? Here's point number two as we close here. Our souls must become whole. Our soul must become whole. We read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 where he says, he prays that our whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. Now, the reason I'm mentioning that verse again, because what I didn't do the first time was to explain to you what the word whole means in that verse. It means complete in all parts. You ever had a jigsaw puzzle and you bought it and you put the whole thing together and one piece was missing? You ever tried to put a bike or something together and you left off some screws and your kid ride the bike and the pedal comes off or something? No, this word whole means complete in all parts. It means in no way wanting or unsound. It means complete, entire, and whole. In fact, in James chapter 1 verse 4, this word whole is used again in a different English way. He says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you and I may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That word entire is the word whole. But here's the deception right here. Here's the deception when it comes to our soul. And this really happens to people who've been in the faith for a while. We think that we can consistently function in the spirit, but yet keep our souls in bad condition. I'm gonna say that again. Here's the deception. We think we can, let me see if I can go back to this other screen. Let me see, huh? Let's see. Nope, that's not it, okay? All right, let's see here. X, y'all are learning, ain't you? Let's swipe back this way. That is right there. Yes. All right. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to show you something. We think that we can consistently function here. It ain't swipe. That is. See, that is. So we think that we can consistently. What happened to my screen here? How did he get over there? Okay. I do want the pen version of this, though. Can I do that? All right. So let me say it again. Here's a deception. We think that we can consistently function in the spirit right here and keep this in bad shape. But here's a deception about that. And this especially happens when people learn how to flow in the manifestations of the spirit. In fact, this is where prophetic people can get off too. Because what happens is the Holy Spirit is in here. So all I have to learn is how to hear him, and he can use me to give somebody a word. He can use me to prophesy. He can use me to speak in tongues. He can use me to do all of that. That comes from here. But we think because he's letting us do that here, that we can keep our life jacked over here. And this is why you see prophetic people or people who manifest the Holy Spirit, their lives are jacked up. Their thinking's bad. Because they've deceived themselves and say, oh, my soul can stay messed up because I'm knowing how to flow over here. Amen. So, we can't function over here and stay right here messed up. Here's why. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. I need to hurry up. Know you not that whom you yield yourselves to servants to obey, his servants are you to whom you obey, whether it's sin or death or obedience to righteousness. Listen, what he's saying is, whoever I yield myself to the most is the one that I'm going to obey the most. Right? He says, but God be thanked that we were servants of sin. Why? How? But you have obeyed from the heart. So this is how my soul begins to heal, because I begin to obey the word of God. He says, you obey from the heart the doctrine which has been delivered. And then he says, and being then made free from sin, you become servants of righteousness. So my obedience allows me to walk in freedom. Now you may be saying, well, Pastor Evan, how do we start this whole soul process? Well, I'm glad you asked me. Remember, we talked about earlier that a word will convert our heart. But it seems like the word would be the first thing that we use to start this whole soul process. And it partially it is. But let me tell you the step to getting your soul whole. You have to get out of agreement with the wholes. Did you hear what I said? You got to get out of agreement with them. You got to get out of agreement with the hurt. You got to get out of agreement with the jealousy. You got to get out of agreement with the abandonment. You got to get out of agreement. But see, folks, people say, well, Pastor, that's just me. No, that's not you. The new you comes from here, not here. So we have to get out of agreement with these things. In fact, our counselors say this. They say, you must give yourself permission. What we don't realize is whoever is Lord of the area that we've chose to be in agreement with becomes that threefold cord that won't be broken. So how do we get out of agreement real fast here? How do we get out of agreement with these holes, this pain, this situation? How do we get out? Well, the same way sin gets out, we confess it out. How did you get Christ in? You confessed him in. Well, how do you get sin out? You confess it out. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us for our sins. Watch this. Not just forgive us, but watch this. Let me see if I can go to that screen again. Let me close this. Come on now. Let me close this. It won't. Y'all know what screen I'm trying to go to, right? See this right here? He not only forgives us for this, but it says he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So once we get out of agreement with something, the next thing is deliverance. I've been delivered. If you're on social media, you know what that is. Now, see, once you get out of agreement, deliverance is now possible. And the beautiful thing about deliverance, contrary to what most people think, it doesn't always require somebody laying their hands on you. There's a story in the book of Acts, and I'm closing, where this woman, in fact, let me just read it very quickly. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. It says, one day on our way to the place of prayer, a slave girl ran into us. She was a psychic. What was she, church? She was a psychic. And with her fortune telling, she made a lot of money for the people who owned her. She started following Paul around, calling everyone's attention to us by yelling out, "These men are working for the Most High. They are laying out the road of salvation to you." I got a question. Did what she just say, was it true? It was really right, but it wasn't coming from truth. See, that's how psychics can tell you some stuff that might be right, but they're not coming from the spirit of truth. So what she said was right. So she did this for a number of days, and Paul finally fed up with her, turned around, and commanded that spirit that possessed her. He says, "Out in the name of Jesus Christ, get out of her." And the Bible says, and it was gone just like that. Everybody say, just like that. Just like that. And you know, if I was a hoop, I'd just be right here and say, on the third day, he went down into the grave. And on the third day, he rose again. But I'm not just like that. But I ain't no hooper. So let's do this real quick. Okay, so here's your homework. Cause we gotta get this right here. See, some of y'all's next mate is contingent on coming by how you handle this. So how do we do it? Here's the first one. We must decide that it's time to get out of agreement. Here's number two. This week I want you to think and pray about the holes that you got in your soul. Then I want you to write down what those areas are. And then after you finish writing, ask the Holy Spirit to add to the list, because some of us have blind spots. And then in your prayer time this week, everybody say this week. In your prayer time this week, yeah, I'm giving you something to do. I want you to get out of agreement with whatever it is by saying this. And you can come back and watch this. I no longer agree with these holes in my life. I no longer agree to how they have caused me to act, participate, or feel. I now get out of agreement with you, jealousy. I denounce and reject your power over me or in me, and I declare that the greater one lives in me. He guides me, he controls me, and has all authority over me in Jesus' name. That's what you're going to do next week, this coming week. And then when next Sunday come, I'm just going to declare that thing off of you. So let's pray real quick. Bow your heads right there, because some of you all are being delivered right now. Get out of, if you know what those areas are, get out of agreement right now. Father, your word declares that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I declare freedom over every person who's listening and who's watching. I declare that no weapon formed against them and against their freedom will prosper. I pray that every lie and deception of the enemy that he has used to try to keep them in bondage, I declare in Jesus' name for that to be broken. And I bind and cast the power of the enemy down. And I declare in the name of Jesus, as this week, as everybody get out of agreement with these holes, that I declare freedom in their lives and in their souls, in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say amen. 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 With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're not saved and you need to be, I want to give you an opportunity.